One of the big trends in the apparel industry in the last decade has been fast fashion. Chains like Zara and H&M can respond to trends in an instant, cranking up production in low-cost countries and delivering the latest look to stores around the world in weeks instead of months or even a year. But all this productivity can come at a cost. Some brands are focused instead on more sustainable options. James Bartle is the founder of Outland Denim, a sustainable fashion brand that began in Australia and manufactures its products in Cambodia. He joins us now. Hello there.
How are you?
This is a money show. It is a money show, but we cover everything. We cover topics like socially responsible investing. And so I thought we will talk about socially responsible dressing. Tell us first, what is sustainable fashion? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a big question. There's, I guess, two elements that you could focus on here. And that one of it is a social sustainability and the other is environmental. And with Outland Denim, I mean, we focus on both, and sustainability means that it's something that can sustain itself without using up all the resources of whatever they might be, and can continue on in that forum.
And my window into this is everything that we do on the show is helping people get a better handle on their money. Some consumers will think absolutely it makes sense to pay more for a pair of jeans that have been made in that way. And others will say, no, I'm going with the fast fashion for a quarter of the price.
Sure.
How do you think about the value equation? I mean, clearly you're not going to be objective on this one. It is your company. But how do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I totally understand. Not everybody can afford a $245 jean. But for us, it's I guess it's about the ethics of the company and, the impact that the product has. And I guess, not to name any other brands, but some brands, the impact is devastating upon the people and also the planet. And products like Outland Denim products are exactly the opposite of that. In fact, they right or wrong. They bring people out of poverty, people out of vulnerable situations through this employment and business model that we've been able to create. But then also on an environmental level, it's been able to change the way that we do manufacturing. And that's, I guess, why we see so many people now moving toward wanting to shop ethically or sustainably. And it is a term that's getting thrown around a lot, but it is good for us to start to understand that it's really impacting people's lives, the choices we make as consumers.
Take me to Cambodia and tell me what I would see. So if I was at your production facility, who's there? What are they doing? When do they show up and when do they leave? Because we know from news reports, a lot of times in unregulated industries in developing countries, the work standards are not what we as Canadians would expect them to be.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I guess we always say within our office, if we're not prepared to work there, then why should they? So, you'll turn up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You'll see all the women turning up on their motorbikes, and they park them and go inside and begin work. And for us, it's nice to walk in and see that they're happy, and there's chatter amongst them. It's a very casual workplace, yet at the same time, they're able to produce a high quality product, and we're always working on improving the speed in which they can manufacture it. The way we produce is very different to your traditional garment factory. So it's nothing like what you would expect.
Do they ever wear your product? I mean, I know the climate's different, but certainly people who work in the apparel industry in developing countries are not paying $245 for a pair of jeans.
Well, our staff don't have to buy theirs.
Do they get free? They get free jeans?
Yeah, look, they actually make their own jeans, and they'll make them out of different fabrics. They've made their own uniforms, and that's something that we use as little projects. If there's a time where there's nothing happening, they'll do those things. They'll design their patterns and what they want to put on it, and then go and produce them.
You are what is called a certified B Corporation, a global brand, first in Australia. What does that mean? What does that mean to people?
B Corporation is an amazing thing because what it does is it provides the consumer with a guarantee that we've been audited and that they've gone deep within our organization to be able to prove that the things we claim are exactly that. It's about zero exploitation. It's about making sure that, the harm on the planet or the people is reduced, or not even reduced, but that it isn't there. So it's, I guess, the thing that gives us confidence is those third-party audits to go, we can have somebody come in and look at everything that we do and then come away with scores like we actually got in that B Corp scores.
How do you think about profit margins? Clearly, there's ways you could run this business much more cheaply if you didn't do things this way. How do your profit margins stack up versus other global competitors at that level? Because it's not fair to compare you with mass merchandise. It's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
But how do you think about margin?
Yeah, margin's really important. And for this to ever really genuinely be sustainable, it needs to be able to work across all levels. So our investors need to be able to get a return. And in fact, my goal is to be able to prove in the future that our investors can actually get a better return investing in this kind of model versus the traditionally made model. And the way I believe that that can happen is that the market is shifting, and it's shifting rapidly. You know, the consumer is now becoming more educated than they've ever been, and people are good. Generally, people are good, and they don't want to exploit anybody. So as they become made aware of the atrocities that are happening within the fashion industry, they start to change their buying habits. And that's where brands like us can have a huge impact on the amount of people we can employ, the reduction in the impact on the environment, but then also bringing other brands and companies across to producing in this way because they see that it's profitable.
There were two things that surprised me about your marketing. So I looked up other socially conscious brands like 10,000 Villages and Able, and a bunch of them show the makers. You have made the choice not to show the makers, these women in Cambodia, sometimes their heads, sometimes just their mouth. Tell me why you did that. Why are they not a bigger part of the story in your marketing efforts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reasons for that. One's a legal reason, and it's illegal to identify somebody that's gone through some of the things that some of our staff have gone through. And we have women from a range of different backgrounds, and we don't want any of them to be tagged as something that they'd be ashamed of necessarily. And therefore, we've chosen to leave their identity out of our marketing.
How does Able do it then?
Look, I don't know. I have no idea how Able are able to do that. So,
it's quite common in your space for the makers to be a part of the narrative, and it seems quite pronounced that you've chosen not to.
Yeah, it's a contentious issue. You know, we don't want it to be exploitive in any way. You know, we do believe that their stories need to be told, and but it's always their choice. So, for instance, the stories we tell on the insides of the jeans, the thank yous that some of the women have written to those who purchase the product. That's all by choice. If they don't want to tell their stories, we're not going to tell it. So it's
I have a marketing background. I began in marketing. So I don't have a judgment about my next question because I used to market things all the time.
Great.
Your website, your Instagram, all your materials show a traditional, skinny, white model. Given everything that you're talking about, that's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's actually a question that we've been getting a lot. The answer to it is that it's we've used a group of, models within our local area, and that's what we've had. But it's something that we're trying to diversify in size. You'll see a range of sizes if you look there. But it also comes back to samples. So you're always shooting with samples, and samples have been shot traditionally in a certain size. But as this conversation has become more of something that we've become aware of, it's about, you know, expanding our offering and the way we shoot and who we shoot.
Is it hard to find a non-white size 4?
Yeah.
Is it really, hey?
In Queensland, Australia, yes, it is.
I see. Okay, so it's a real limit in terms of the market that
extremely limited.
Come to Toronto. Yeah. We got lots of people you can use.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a part of your visit? Were you on a talent-seeking mission to expand the breadth?
There's talent everywhere you go here. It's amazing.
James, I appreciate you coming in. It's very interesting to me what you're doing. I think consumers need to really think consciously about where they spend their money. And for some, it's values aligned to buy products such as yours that do the things that they do. And for other people, they're going to save that money on jeans and donate $100 to the local food bank, and still everyone will still go to heaven. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for your time.
James Bartle is the founder of Outland Denim, a product that began in Australia and manufactures its products in Cambodia.